All right, time to have a chat to the boss of the MRC. I know Michael Brow was very happy, as were the VRC, with the prize money announcements yesterday, and I would assume that Josh Blanksby is as well. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Michael. Yeah, thanks for having me on, mate.
You'd be pretty happy with the cut of the pie that the MRC received yesterday?
Yeah, look, I think it's a great announcement for the whole sport. You know, a $16 million increase, you know, in these difficult times is fantastic, and a bit of a nod to how well the whole sport did during COVID, and to keep going. And you know, for the Melbourne Racing Club, you know, the $4.5 million increase probably equates to about the amount of wagering turnover that we sort of created across our three race courses and 75 race meetings. So we were very happy, and we think it's a great nod to our racing and operations teams.
Yeah, and the Toorak, one of the headlines, with a $500,000 increase to make it a $1 million race, and maybe persuade some horses from the Epsom to running in the Toorak.
Yeah, that's right. That makes all, you know, three Group 1s on Ned's Caulfield Guineas Day, you know, worth more than $1 million now. So it's a really great day. And I think that complements the decision the club's made to move the 1,000 guineas, another $1 million race, to the Wednesday. So I don't think we're going to lose anything on the Caulfield Guineas Day. You know, it's a fantastic race day, and we boosted the Wednesday. So I think that's a nice sort of complement for all 3 days of, you know, the Caulfield Cup Carnival.
You touched on the sustainability and the funding, which I spoke to Brian Kruger about, and you've got a wagering background before joining the MRC, and what we've seen in the previous 12 months with the wagering boon because of COVID, where do you think it will settle, Josh, and what's the future looking like for that sustainability?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, credit to Racing Victoria and the work they've done, because, you know, you don't want to be making prize money increases and then 2 years later be questioning those and God forbid, be reducing them, because the industry relies on it, and it's what makes the ecosystem go round. So they must have a lot of confidence in the future. I think we're starting to see the trends coming back now, as expected. But what I monitor is against FY20, so two years ago, to see how we're tracking against that, because the COVID spike, you know, is a huge outlier. And at the moment, our race meetings are outperforming those ones that on a like-for-like basis. So I think that's really important. And when we're now doing budgeting, looking forward, that's really what we're comparing. So I think that's the true comparison to look at. And hopefully what that means is those people who found racing during the COVID lockdowns, and, you know, we saw that, and that's all, we're the only sport in town, they're remaining engaged with racing, still betting on it, and it's our job to get them to the track and, you know, hopefully become a member of a race club and eventually own horses.
Yeah, it's difficult to do that when we've got continual lockdowns and we can't actually get to the track, which is so frustrating for everyone. Have you heard any whispers about the likelihood of any crowds being able to get to Caulfield this week or in coming weeks?
I've had a couple of whispers, a couple of conversations yesterday where we're sort of looking for this Saturday. Nothing confirmed, and, you know, it's not even a day-by-day proposition, hour-by-hour proposition when you're talking to health departments and governments. So there's a glimmer of hope, but we have let the government know, and I heard Brian's comments earlier, we really need to know by sort of close of business today to be able to prepare and to welcome a crowd on Saturday. So probably looking at the AFL, really. I think if they get crowds, we would say, well, we would like crowds. But the key is being able to provide a good opportunity. And what we learnt when we first welcomed crowds back is people being restricted to one area and one seat and not being able to move around and not being able to go see their horse and not being able to go to the mounting yard really restricts that experience. So really pressing on government and health that, you know, we can operate safely, you know, COVID safe, everyone will be QR code, everyone will be pre-registered. You know, we had no issues since we've had crowds back, so fingers crossed.
Is there a number that you need to actually make it worthwhile opening the doors?
Oh, look, to be brutally honest, Michael, some of the race meetings we put on since opening were loss making ventures, and that's okay because we needed to welcome people back and we wanted to bring people back, and our members stood by us, our sponsors stood by us, and the participants and the owners did as well. So a lot of those race days weren't profitable anyway. But you don't do it for that reason. You're doing it to get the habit back and custom behaviour back of coming back to the races, so that when you do put your bigger race days on later this spring, fingers crossed, we can have bigger crowds back that do make money.
Josh, there's been a lot of passion about the Sandown debate, and it's been reignited in recent weeks. You must feel like you're getting bashed around the ears at the MRC, but Brian Kruger had some very interesting comments just before about, well, the participants don't have the full picture about what a possible sale or sell off of part of the land of Sandown may look for the industry as a whole. Are you able to give any more insight into that?
So our position really hasn't changed, Michael. So we get the comments and we understand that every time Sandown's mentioned in any article at all, we get questions about it. But the process, we haven't deviated at all from the process, and we've been very transparent with our members and the wider industry, is that we need to go through a rezoning process to understand the options that Sandown. And the Melbourne Racing Club is for racing, and I think sometimes the criticism that all this money's going to go into our back pocket, I think it's just completely misguided and a little bit unfair. Anything that we would do, and we said that on a number of occasions, we will consult with Racing Victoria, mainly the Victorian government, the trainers, the jockeys, the owners, anyone who wants to come and have a chat, and eventually our members will make that decision. And our members are pro racing, so of course if there are, and we are looking at a number of different options that could be done, and we don't know that until we actually rezone the land and see what the opportunities are. But clearly, it's not just going to be as simple as moving all the Sandown races to what, I think Peter Moody unfairly called it, in a goat track at Caulfield. This industry is suboptimal, it's inefficient, and I think it's completely proper for Racing Victoria and the Melbourne Racing Club to look at options to make it more efficient and make sure we can actually make it long-term sustainable. So that hasn't changed, that hasn't deviated. What has happened is that, there's this, a property windfall tax has been mentioned, and I actually think the industry should be completely aligned here in saying, we don't want this to occur, because if this occurs, regardless of what happens at Sandown, you've got $150 million exiting the racing industry. And it doesn't just affect the Melbourne Racing Club. That affects everybody, and Kilmore Racing Club's affected. There's plenty of clubs planned. So I think at this point in time, I think the industry should be saying, actually, to government, that's something that we just cannot afford for our long-term sustainability.
Well, I spoke to the Racing Minister, Martin Pakula, last week after he met with yourself and the MRC, and he seemed to think that it wasn't going to be as big an impact from the government's point of view as what the MRC was saying. Do you agree with that?
Well, it was comforting to hear Minister Pakula tell us that and say that we've overestimated. But on the current figures we've got and from the information the Property Council's given us, that is the numbers we're looking at. And it's important that everyone understands this is upon rezoning. This is not upon selling. So you get this tax even if you rezone. And sometimes government can rezone land without the landowner wanting to. So this could be a world where this tax came in, and the government then decided to rezone Sandown and rezone Caulfield, and the Melbourne Racing Club's up for a check, and we'd have our hand out pretty quickly to the rest of the industry to try to help us pay for it. So it's a material issue. So look, we're hoping key meeting this week or next week with Treasury officials to really understand how this tax works. But on the current information that's publicly available, that's the estimate, around $150 million.
And would that mean it's not viable to actually do what you want to do, sell Sandown and redevelop?
Well, the Melbourne Racing Club doesn't want to sell Sandown. It wants to rezone Sandown to understand the options and then to understand what we can do. Now, obviously, a lot of those planning's been around not just Sandown land, but also Caulfield land, which is becoming available with training exiting. And I think one of the frustrations that we have is that was pushed on us by government, who wanted to release land at the Caulfield racecourse and allow that to public use. So that was driven very much by government, which we, reluctantly jumped on board in order to get a 65-year lease to secure racing. Now, if all of a sudden that land, if it was rezoned, half of it's got to go back to government, then, a lot of those plans are under question mark.
So we're talking years away, aren't we, from any possible resolution?
Oh, no, I don't think so. No, I think the government needs to, and they've acknowledged, they need to come out with some information about this tax, because regardless of what it means for us, for any developer or landowner in the state wants to know. Because you wouldn't be planning long-term property development if this tax was going to hit you the way it is. So, no, I would be thinking it'd be sort of weeks and months where this legislative process will come through, and then we'll understand where we sit. If it does come into place and there's no concessions and eligibility, I think it's a major issue for the Victorian racing industry.
Sorry, I made a decision on actual Sandown and whether it remains as a racing venue or a sale. Are we still talking, multiple years away on that, or is it closer?
It's multiple years in terms of how long Sandown will remain as a race course. We've publicly said that, well within sort of 10 years, we'll still be racing at Sandown. So, the likes of all the trainers that you want to ask, if you're going to ask everyone for an interview for the next 10 years on the future of Sandown, you might not be asking it for quite often, and Matty Stewart might have to come up with some new angles. But, that'll be a long time. So, look, we need to see where this tax lands. We then, as Brian Krieger outlined, we're working with Racing Victoria on what all the different options would be. And there's a myriad of options, as you can imagine. And then, as Brian said, once we've actually realised, are there any that are actually better than what currently is available? And I think that's important to recognise that at the moment, yes, we understand that the participants love Sandown, but no one wants to go there, and people criticise the club for not investing in it, but we do invest in it. You know, we put a lot of money into it every year, and unfortunately, people don't want to go there. And to us, it's a bit analogous with Waverley. You know, I miss going to the footy at Waverley. I'm not really sure they do, but what the AFL did was create something that was better than Waverley. So that's our aim. If that was to come to, if we're going to head that way.
Josh, appreciate your time this morning.
Good on you, Michael.